If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome on into the Steakhouse here on a Tuesday morning. Abe Gordon in for Steak Shapiro once again alongside Sandra Golden. Sandra had a little bit of a stressful morning today.
This just in, traffic in Atlanta. So, no, it's all good. I'm ready to roll. You know what I was thinking about last night? Because I was a little bit creeping on Steak's social media.
Uh-oh.
He's in Europe. He was in Barcelona visiting his daughter and then a big birthday party over in Italy. But he's off the grid, which I'm so glad to see that he is not eating sandwiches across the world and showing it. You know what I mean?
He's definitely eating sandwiches across the world. He's just not showing it.
Yeah. So I'm glad to hear that.
Are you a social media user when you're on a trip or vacation?
It depends
or what?
If I see something funny, but I'm not so dialed into it. Twitter, I a lot of times am. A lot of times I repost stuff so I can find it. I know that sounds silly, but I'll be like, oh, I want to repost that or I want to comment on that so I can remember it for the show.
It's note keeping. You don't use the like or the bookmark function as opposed to
repost it? I like a lot of
it?
Stuff, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I unlike stuff all the time. Like if I've liked it before, I have a weird thing about keeping my likes clean.
That is really weird. Why is that?
I'm also the guy that, like, I can't have an alert on my phone. Like, I have zero unread emails. I have zero unread texts. I have zero missed calls.
Yeah.
Like, I can't have it's OCD or something. I can't have that number on my screen.
I agree with you. I feel like it's either one or the other. You're either of camp no alert or camp I have 10,000, which drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I'll see my girlfriend's phones. I'm like, how do you even sleep at night? So I'm the same way. I clear everything. I'm very organized. But the social media of just I try not to be like, oh, there's a beautiful bird. I'm going to do it again. And then, of course, I do it again. So anyway, I just commenting. Steak's having a great time. We've been texting. He'll be back on Monday. We had a large meeting. I told you guys yesterday about the Falcons and where we're going to be and how it's going down, and that starts on Thursday, so make sure to lock in. But as we told you 2 weeks ago, y'all better lock down on those tickets because it's going to be a hot training camp. And, of course, we learned it is sold out for this first weekend, which is Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah.
And again, as you mentioned, Sports Radio 92.9 is going to be there. Exclusive on-site coverage of Falcons training camp, morning shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy live from Flowery Branch on Thursday. And after practice wraps up, Dukes and Bell at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. Coverage brought to you by your North Georgia Honda dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. And then there's also going to be a couple, like you mentioned, special shows on the weekend as well. Sam McGregor going to be there. And who is it on Sunday? I think it's maybe Bo and Dylan out there on
Mike Johnson.
Oh, it's Bo and Mike Johnson.
There you go.
Dylan and Mike Johnson mm-hmm. out there on Sunday. So
yeah. We are your home of the Falcons. There will be no bigger, better Mac Daddy access, voices of the 92.9 The Game. I've been doing radio a long, long time. There is no coverage like 92.9's game coverage of especially Falcons training camp.
Looking forward to chatting. There's going to be a player on Andy and Randy every day that the guys are out there. We're going to hear from Raheem Morris. We're going to hear from Terry Fontenot. And multiple other shows are going to be recording interviews after
practice.
So you
requested
it's going to be over there.
I haven't yet. But you had three down to request. You want to tell everybody who you requested and why?
No, because if we don't get them, then either I look bad or the Falcons look bad for not giving them.
It just means they're busy. I'm more curious as to why you selected those names because I thought it was a perfect three.
Yeah, so you obviously just can't be like, Michael Penix, please.
Right.
They're not going to give me Michael Penix to record after practice.
Yeah.
That's a guy that's going to the podium on a given day.
Okay, you went to like level tier three thinking this is who I'll get.
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
Okay, so tell everybody
so. I don't want to tell.
I'm going to tell him. Caden Ellis I thought was perfect.
Yeah.
Caden Ellis is a bad, bad man. And
yeah.
A great interview and had a great year.
I think he's set up for a massive break.
Me too.
Not even breakout because he's been very good, but just continuing the upswing of what has been a really nice addition to the Falcons over the last couple of years.
Yeah. And by the way, no one's really listening to us ever on this show. So
the numbers say otherwise,
but
Sandra.
I'm saying, like, they're not going to remember that you requested Caden and they gave us the Heisman on it. So you don't want to say who else?
No. I didn't want to say Caden.
It's a bizarro world. Caden was, I hope we get Caden.
Well, he was my number three request. There's two others.
I know. I remember.
All right, let's go ahead and jump into
it.
This hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company, the 9 at 9. Braves take out the Giants last night, 9-5 to open the series. Big game from Drake Baldwin, a career high 6 RBIs. We do need to start talking about this at some point, Sander. He continues to be real close to the top in this NL Rookie of the Year discussion.
Did you see MLB put out a poll among players? And of 5 players voted, Drake Baldwin was 1.
And I don't want to play conspiracy theorist on behalf of Marcell Ozuna. A little bit of me wonders if they're working the catchers into the DH spots to keep Drake Baldwin in the public's eye for this NL Rookie of the Year race.
I think it's a wise move. I think it's great for him. I don't think it's conspiracy at all. Absolutely. They called up a catcher yesterday.
Yes, Sandy Leone, welcome back.
Y'all, this kid is special, but I also think you're 100% right when it comes to the 6 RBI. Give a hats off to one Ronald Acuña.
A little
Acuña.
Bit of the benefactor for Ronald Acuña Jr.'s outstanding base running. You know what's funny, Sandra? I tweeted this in the first inning when it took place. I tweeted, and Drake Baldwin had a bases-clearing double, and Acuña scored from first on it. And this is something we've seen him do a number of times in recent weeks, including right here in Atlanta for the All-Star game. He scored from first on a ball down the line. I said, oh, look, there's Acuña scoring from first again. When he did it later in the game, I got to do that excited, like, quote tweet, like, bump. Like, yeah. I said this earlier, and now it's relevant now, so I'm going to re-say it sort of thing.
I
was very proud of myself.
I love Ronald Acuña basically patting Freddy Gonzalez on the head.
Speaking
saying, you're
arms.
Adorable.
Yeah.
I don't know what that hand is doing up, but I'm going to now slide into home and scene. Phenomenal young man. Again, the question will be, is he one of the best in baseball players, period?
I'll
show me your Shohei Ohtani. Could raise you a Ronald Acuña.
Yeah, I like that he decided he was going to go home as he was touching second. He's like, ah, that guy's lollygagging out there. I know I'm still 180 feet away, but we're going to go for it. And there was
Freddy
not even
Gonzalez
a play.
Clearly is like, stop. Well, and he's like, you're so cute. Step out of the way, please, Mr. Gonzalez.
Braves back at it tonight. 7:15, Landon Raup against Davis Daniel. I'm going to be at the game tonight. I'm going with my uncle, so very excited.
And
very
you got
excited.
Some good seats? So.
We do. I don't know exactly where the seats are. I know we're going to be.
Doesn't matter. Here's what it says in front of your seats. Delta Club.
Yeah, he told me to come hungry. I'm like, ah.
Bo, you got to hook up our guy. Delta Club seats, Bo. Bo's going to hook
Bo's
you up.
Bo's in the Truist Club.
I work in the Truist Club.
Is that, so you can't get access to that?
I don't get to see Bo tonight.
I'll come up and say hi. Because you're right there.
Yeah,
like,
we're right outside
the
door.
Say hi.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try and talk my way in.
Well, you're going to have a great time.
I do have friends up there, though, that you can go see. And they'll treat you nicely.
Hey, now.
If Davis Daniel walked in the studio right now, would you know who he is?
Is he wearing his jersey at the time?
No, he's not. Would
sure
you, Bo?
Wouldn't.
Would you know Davis Daniel if you walked in the studio?
No, I would not.
Hey, we get a new salesman? You want to come on air?
Exactly.
Oh, you're the pitcher. My bad. No, I wouldn't. Atlanta Dream.
By the way, real quick tomorrow, if you're out and about looking for something to do with your kids, Justin Verlander and Spencer Strider is your nooner tomorrow.
Hey, now.
I think you maybe just, if you were looking for something to do, because now you can't go to Falcons camp if you don't have tickets already for Thursday. So, Braves game at noon.
There you
Probably last one you can go to before school.
Atlanta Dream tonight, nationally televised game on ESPN, 10 p.m. because it is in Vegas against the Las Vegas Aces. So, a little bit of national TV work there for the Dream trying to get their post All-Star break hot. They started off red hot. They've cooled off a little bit, but they're still in that discussion of the top half. Kind of an exterior contender there in the WNBA.
I think they're 5 games out of first. Also worthy of a mention is Indiana Fever is at the Liberty tonight at 8.
That's the game before on ESPN.
Caitlin out.
Yeah, she's
Caitlin's
still dealing
out.
With the injury.
They're going to reevaluate this whole groin, knee. Well, something is very wrong. This will be her 12th game.
Probably
so
came
far.
Back too early. Came back, played two or three games, and then got sidelined again. Mm-hmm. You already mentioned it. Falcons sold out of training camp tickets for the first 3 sessions, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. but there are other sessions available. So again, you see they're selling out right now. Depending on what we see Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, I mean, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, people might be like jumping on to buy, or not buy, but to reserve more tickets.
Can I just say, I think it's the Jalen Walker, Georgia Bolt, Michael Penix factor, but I also feel like Georgia coming out, showing out in Groves with the Jalen Walker jersey, which, by the way, they're likely going to have for sale on site. They put up a Falcon store every year. I don't know. I think it's so exciting.
ACC Media Days is underway right now. I see Commissioner Jim Phillips on the podium. Later in the day, Cal, Miami, SMU, Stanford, and Virginia going to be making their rounds. We'll hear from Carson Beck at some point.
I saw a video on the Twitters where Miami's already doing some of the media, the smaller media. He'll be at the podium shortly in the 9 o'clock hour.
Big Ten Media Days also today. Tony Petitti, commissioner, fascinated to hear what he has to say in response to Greg Sankey. Illinois.
Go ahead.
Illinois, Rutgers, Indiana, Maryland, Nebraska, Ohio State also presenting.
Y'all, they're at the Mandalay Bay, and I saw the setup. So I'm just saying. That's
where
the
was
way
that,
to
by the
it.
Way, when I was covering? We were in Chicago and Indianapolis.
I just love the bold, Vegas strong move of like, we're not messing around. We're just going to go to Vegas at
It's also
freaking...
just not a city that any of the schools are in.
Yeah, they
like,
said...
Like, it made sense when it was Indianapolis or Chicago, right? You got Northwestern, you got Indiana, Purdue. Like, there, it makes sense.
Yep.
Atlanta United waves Mateusz Klik. That's going to open up an international roster spot ahead of the transfer window. Here's a big one, Sandra, and you've got your fingers crossed. Masters lottery results were sent out.
Not all of them were sent out. The first phase, which likely was the nose.
Everyone I know that posted yesterday got the thanks, but no.
A tradition like no other, the rejection letter is exactly happening. So I put on Twitter, did you hear yesterday? I have not heard. I put in.
You're starting to get a little antsy about it too, aren't you?
I know. I mean,
I heard your voice pop up.
Now that was the greatest experience of my life, and I hate golf, so there you go. Last year at the Masters was the most fun. Oh my goodness!
What was your setup last year? Which day?
Saturday.
Oh, so guys. Oh,
yes.
You went moving.
I was gifted the tickets for my big birthday, and I had never been, and I really had no interest. I've given away tickets before. My husband said, "You're going, and it's going to be phenomenal." So.
One more quick note, which I know Bo Johnson will appreciate. Rich Hill, called up by the Royals, 45 years old.
He's
going to mark his 14th major league team. That's now going to tie him with my old buddy, Edwin Jackson.
The beauty thing about this is that it's Rich Hill versus Charlie Morton.
Oh, boy.
They combine like 85 years of age.
It's probably the oldest pitching matchup since Satchel Paige faced someone.
It's got to be top five.
Who knows, you know. It's one of those.
Good for them. Good for them.
Boy. All right. We're going to continue the Falcons discussion here, Sandra. Training camp is coming.
48 hours. Let's go.
They are, going to appear tomorrow and make their walk-ins and do their red carpet.
They have to report tomorrow, show up. They have meetings. They decide who's rooming with who, all the good fun stuff, all the dorm room crap.
And then we're out there on Thursday. I'm amped up for it. So we are going to talk about the Falcons because it just kind of goes in line with what you were saying about these tickets. They are red hot. And I think the energy about this team is as well. Should it be? What's the level of where we should be at this? Because I know I'm going to have a real issue when I watch practice. And I need you to kind of like put me in my place a little bit.
Issue with practice.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what's coming next on the Steakhouse. It's Abe Gordon in for Steak Shapiro. Sandra Golden. Fastest 2 hours in radio continues in a couple minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. That's the question we're asking for tonight's concert that Sandra's going to tell you about.
I know a lot of you old white folks like me.
Who?
Y'all, listen to this. It's at AmeriSave Amphitheater tonight. Opener is Christopher Cross, then Men at Work, and then wait for it, Toto. How about that trifecta of fabulous music that you young folks are like, huh? Wah? That's some good stuff, y'all. So all the old white folks, see you tonight in Alpharetta. Cannot wait. My husband and I have been counting down the days.
So
Who's the opener, you're wondering?
No.
My husband and I have debated this because I was like, Christopher Cross has about 1 million hits, but he's the opener, and then it's Men at Work, and then it's Toto. And how about this? Here's the other thing, concert goers. You know how you always look and you're like, ooh, what time do they go on? Because they may say 7:30 or 8, and then they don't go on to like 9:30 or 10. Not this group, sisters. They are like 6:30. Let's go and get the heck back to bed. So that's a concert I can appreciate.
What? Because I know you and Allie Mack on the morning shift have been talking about this Backstreet Boys concert in Vegas.
That's right. That's
right. I think I have a general idea what the vibe will be like at that concert.
What do you think the vibe will be at that concert?
I think there's going to be a lot of standing, a lot of bumping, jumping, dancing, you know, all that stuff.
Well, I don't think we're there for the vocal performance, that is, the Backstreet Boys, with all due. Well, like, it is a dancing kind
right.
of,
so what's the
brings
vibe?
Us back to our 90s and our youths.
So what's the vibe for, like, all these 80s bands?
It's,
that are like, are people standing? Are you sitting?
Standing. We're on wheelchairs and hip. We have hip surgery.
Is that?
No, I don't
I
think
didn't
it's a
say
standing.
It,
and no, I'll say it. It's nostalgia. It's everything old is new again.
Sitting, clapping, singing.
Sitting, clapping, peeing. Like, listen, don't forget about that. So sitting, clapping, peeing. And here's the other thing I love about this age group. Now, I like to say Larry and I go out a lot, okay? So I figure we're a professional concert goers.
Oh, you got a couple people who making the biannual trip
Dude.
Outside their house on a weekday.
It's like I call it the Yacht Rock crew. That Yacht Rock crew is rookie night at the office, and I'm going to have 17 wines before I get there, and I'm going to vomit next to you. And yeah, I'm talking to you, 48-year-old lady. Get it together! So yeah, that's the vibe. It's going to be amazing. I'm very excited. I know y'all think I'm a big dork, which I am, but it's nostalgia. It's like high school. It's all good.
Is there a song you're like most
all
wanting
I wanna
to
do when I wake up in the morning is see your eyes? Toto, Rosanna. Cannot
okay.
wait. My husband's like, please okay. stop doing that. Says I do it at every moment. Jabo's like, what is that? Yeah. Come on.
I've heard of Toto.
Toto's great.
We're Men at Work to YMCA guys.
What?
Who's saying YMCA? Oh, Village People. My bad.
You better yeah. stop.
Well,
right
Village
now.
People dress like men at work is what it is, right?
That's exactly
yeah.
right.
So
yeah,
there's the
yeah.
confusion.
Yeah, that's a tough L right there.
Yeah, you
that's
too.
It's really not. I don't think that's an L at all.
It's not an L at all. But just it's good. I'm excited. So those of you going, please give a shout out. Please feel to buy me a glass of wine. I'll have any and all. So there we go.
Any and all.
Well, yeah.
There you go. And if you,
I'm off tomorrow. So.
Oh, right. See, I'm not. So I have to be responsible tonight
right,
at the Braves
right.
game.
Okay, update on the Masters tickets.
Uh-oh.
Everyone that's responding on the Twitter says they've received a no. And Jeffrey says to me to log on to masters.com and it'll give you an update on your tickets. It didn't. So I'm holding out hope. This could be hopeful. So keep me posted.
I want you to keep us posted. I'm now invested like I'm winning
okay,
the tickets with you, but
here's the
I'm
other
not.
Thing that he just did. I go, I'm going on Masters Talk. Oh, my God, I wouldn't want to know.
Yeah,
Abe doesn't want to. I go, what is wrong with you? Why wouldn't you want to know? I want to know now.
I'll let it come in email form the way the Masters people intended it.
What are you afraid to know, though?
I don't know. I don't know. I just okay. I'd let it happen naturally, I guess.
All right. Okay. There we go.
This one of those things?
I just want everybody
are you
to
that
get yeses.
Only person on the world that didn't shake Christmas presents or try to find them.
Well, he's Jewish. So
yeah,
wait a
so
minute.
Hanukkah presents. Start there. Yeah. We didn't get presents that were shakeable. We barely got presents that were wrapped. They just give it to us.
So oh, really? Like, here's your dreidel?
Here's your, well, dreidel's not a present, but.
No?
It better not
Isn't
be.
Isn't that the top?
Dreidel.
Yeah,
dreidel.
But that's it's like a toy used in celebrations. It better.
You didn't just play with them?
Also.
Oh, man.
Can you, how? What's the wrap job on a dreidel?
Well, it comes in a box, right?
I guess you'd have to wrap.
Because you
got to
get
box.
A really nice dreidel for somebody.
Yeah, like, no, they're very fancy. Yeah. Some of
not
them,
not just
yeah,
a wooden dreidel. I'm talking about a nice dreidel.
Wooden, they're like wax, plastic. We just spin them upside down. You know,
I bet Steak never got a plastic dreidel. I bet his were nice and.
Are you serious? My dreidels are worth
more
than
your house. He had a 24 karat gold dreidel.
Exactly.
He might have some inlay.
Hey now,
Falcons are starting camp. Falcons are starting camp Thursday.
Yeah.
I know everyone's excited, including me. Like I want to go out there and actually watch for things. I was listening to Morning Shift. I'm not gonna like necessarily watch as intently and closely as Mike Johnson. He was talking about like the D-line rotation on the inside. I want to see what, and I'm like, all right, I'll just, I'll kind of watch and see what's going on. I'll give you the oohs and ahs the same as everyone else does. I got a couple things I've circled that I want to watch for.
And but where are you watching from? Do you go sideline? You go middle of the field? Because at Falcons camp, y'all, if you've ever been, they do practice on two fields, the ones versus twos, ones versus the twos. It's a weird setup, and then there's punters and kickers. It's kind of all over the place. Where are you going to be lined up watching?
Yeah, it kind of depends which field is doing what. Because okay. For the media, we can kind of walk around. If the fans on the hill are kind of stuck where they are, and you have a pretty nice viewpoint anyways to see both fields because you're elevated. But it kind of depends what the movement is. I'm always going to lean more towards the quarterback, receiver, and DBs than just the linemen kind of banging into each other.
Sure.
That's just
sexier watch.
Sure, agree. Why not? A lot more ooh and ahs out of it, but you get some both ways. The thing for me here, Sandra, is keeping things in perspective because I'm a sucker for the viral moment, right? Like, I'm a sucker for this guy made an incredible catch. Like, is it going to be his breakout season? Like, I could see Ray McLeod winning one deep ball against AJ Terrell. I'm like, look out, man.
Yeah.
Look out. This is the year.
Yeah, but I think you're like most people of like, I just saw it with my own eyes and it's July and I'm running with it. So I think that's normal.
I also wonder.
By the way, Ray McLeod was likely and Mooney were so underrated and not talked about enough, especially after you go back and watch quarterback.
Mooney.
Gosh, those catches.
The fact Mooney came up, 8 yards shy of 1,000 yards, and he didn't
play. We're not even talking about him.
He didn't play in that final game. And
that, I forgot he didn't play against Carolina.
I think there's going to be even more attention because even though I still think he's underrated, I think people are waking up to Drake London a little bit. And I think there's going to be so much more attention paid to Drake London defensively this year. I think Mooney is just going to have at it. And I think Ray McLeod works in there, too.
Yeah.
Especially depending on what you get. Because if you get something out of Pitts, Ray McLeod might be a little quieter. If you're not getting much out of Pitts, though, there's no reason to think that they have to cover Mooney deep with a safety high. They're going to do whatever they can to take the middle of the field away from Drake London. And Ray McLeod is just going to be running somewhere against a third DB or a nickel. And just, he's going to.
And open.
Yeah.
Open
he's going
to
have
that
at
point.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. It's from your mouth to God's ears. Yeah.
And that's the thing for me. Like, when I look especially at the offense, the defense has some questions, right? Who's the cornerback opposite A.J. Terrell? How much trust do you put in him? The pass rushers, the rookie pass rushers. What does Floyd have left as a veteran? Can you stop the run? Like, there are some questions on defense. The offense, though, and outside of, like, at what level is Penix playing at?
Yeah.
I don't have Pitts, I guess, is a question mark, but I don't see it as the most necessary because I think you can win without Pitts doing much. I think anything, if you get that from Pitts, it's like even more so. The expectations offensively for me, and this is where like I'm going to get out over my skis at training camp. The expectations offensively for this team, it feels like our top five potential in the NFL. Like, I'm not trying to be, like, some crazy take. Like, you have an MVP-caliber running back. You have one of the top 10. It looks different, but one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL in Drake London. You've got a quarterback that has all the tools, all the measurables. You have, and I'm not going to go as far to say they're a top 5 offensive line, but they're not bottom half offensive line. You're pretty sturdy there. Offensively, you have tools to do things a lot of teams can't. That's where I'm like, I need to real. Because you can hear me talking, and I know you're looking at me. You can see me light up.
And I am. I think we drink the Falcons Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I think we're all in for the big Penix energy, and that's where we're coming from here. We are so betting on him to be fabulous. So why does Vegas think we are going to have 7.5 wins? That always brings me back to reality. And also, in terms of talent, and the talent list and the quality of, I mean, ESPN says we're way down low.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that list potentially next hour, depending on how long our Colin Cowherd conversation has to go.
Okay. But ESPN's why don't you tell people real quick what it says?
Yeah, like ESPN's got us listed as the 26th best starting lineup.
Okay, and there's 32 teams. So, yeah. Okay, best starting lineup. So ESPN, that's what I meant, like, we've got to slow our roll But I'm with you in terms of we're betting, we are trending up. The Falcons are the talk of it, not like the Hawks. My God, the Hawks can't get enough play in the offseason.
Well, this is one of the downfalls of being an Atlanta fan at times is like we always just see and expect the best out of our teams. And I think we're doing that with the Hawks as well. We see the additions they made and we're just like, this is going to be that. I think we do that with the Falcons for sure. Like we see things and we're like, no concerns. This is what's going to happen. We're going to be off and running.
Yeah.
And I think the National doesn't view it that way sometimes.
Well, it's also, we're Lucy holding the ball and Charlie's going to kick it and she's going to pull it again because we're like, oh, that's right. We're the Falcons. We can't have nice things. But you're saying one of the best rosters in the NFL or the best offenses. I mean, let's just even start with the NFC. You're not better than the Eagles.
Correct.
You're not better than, I mean, I can list you so many you're not better than when we start the
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
I'm with you though. They're not the bottom third. Are they the top third?
I think
you're in the middle third in terms of paper talent on paper. And I got to tell you, it's the Michael Penix factor could be equally as terrible. We don't know.
Yeah, I think ultimately with all of the teams, it's how much do your weaknesses showcase themselves? How much do your holes become a problem in season? If the cornerback is an issue and the pass rush is still an issue, what discussion are we really having no matter how good the offense
Lions, is? Lions, Rams, Texans even, CJ Stroud. I mean, there's a lot of great teams. We get so hyper-focused on our own Atlanta Falcons. I mean, I hope you're right. Optimism abound.
When we come back, there's been some problematic talks around what's going on with the Atlanta Braves from an organizational standpoint. You're going to tell us and update us on what's going on. Also,
did y'all check your emails yesterday, A-listers? Because all y'all are not happy.
A little bit of fire coming from the A-listers right now. That's all coming on the other side. It is the Steakhouse. Abe Gordon, Sandra Golden on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Steakhouse. Abe Gordon in for Steak Shapiro alongside concert-going Sandra Golden tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Just step away from the microphone for a second and let it just fall all over you right here, a little toe-toe. Woo! Gonna be so good. Abe, can you appreciate a little Toto?
I like Toto. I like Men at Work. I don't have a problem with that. To me, it's just... What do they sound like live at this point? Are we even pretending like they're singing live? Are we doing vocal tracks? Does it even matter?
The Toto videos that they posted from Tampa a couple nights ago, they sounded phenomenal. So there you go.
What do you think it was them singing? Or are they doing a?
Yeah, because I'm not a cynical, negative human like others.
I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters either. That's what somebody said. Backstreet Boys are
there
singing.
You're there for vibes.
God, I hope not. I hope they're not singing. Please.
You're there for vibes.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back into the Steakhouse. This hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. Season ticket holders for the Atlanta Braves are, let's say, dealing with their emotions. Is that the nice way to say it?
Well, I coming off a bad season, which Braves fans were so spoiled, we were usually in the mix and winning World Series or at least in it to win it. We're not this year. So when you check your inbox and it is from the Atlanta Braves that your price has increased anywhere from now, according to the article I just read, anywhere from 20% to, wait for it, 52% lead in prices. Now, I just want to say this because I want to give the Braves some love. The numbers came out from Truist regarding All-Star Weekend. There was close to 140,000 people that came just inside Truist. That's not the battery. That is not the battery.
Yeah.
250,000 people were at the battery. Okay? So that's All-Star Weekend. That was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and obviously Monday, Tuesday for the game. So I think that's tremendous. $4 million in community monies raised, charity events that they were able to donate to. So those are the good parts. And we are spoiled because it's one of the biggest and best in baseball. But on a season where we are bad and worse, you don't want to hear that the prices are going up. This just in, they don't care that the team is bad and worse.
Yeah, they're certainly not the first team to raise prices after a tough season.
I see you, Falcons.
Every once in a while,
Falcons have done it repeatedly.
Well, yeah, every once in a while, you will catch a team that lowers their prices after like a real bad season.
Yeah,
and I'm always like, all right, man, like that's desperate. Braves aren't desperate, and that's why you get what you got. Are people not going to go now? I mean,
I'm anxious to hear. Feel free to tell us. 404-726-0929. Your ticket situation, and I believe this is just the A-listers, but y'all, if I'm wrong, please let me know. And it doesn't matter, because you're exactly right. Now,
this is the early, I'm going to talk tough, I'm not going to renew my season ticket, right? But then when the time comes, guess what happens? You're still sending them some money for your season tickets.
And it happens with the Falcons as well.
On top of that, though, there's a list. So if you don't want your tickets, guess what?
Okay, you know? Tell everybody how that works, because there is a massive waiting list for the
A-list. Oh, yeah, Braves have an A-list waiting list. So like you have to get on. Like they only have a certain amount of A-list packages that go along. And you can get them all over the stadium for various season tickets. But, there's a huge list.
So it's supply and demand at its finest, because if you don't want it, somebody else will. Makes perfect sense, and I just feel like you're going to pay it, just like you said, and if not, I don't get season tickets because I'm a big fan of going on the day of and getting a great seat, and it's just me and my husband. I'm not with clients, so I am certainly in the minority, or not. I think there is a great deal of people that do just that.
I'll tell you, I don't get season tickets, aside from being poor. I can't sit out there like game after game when it's 80-something degrees. I just can't sit there on a nightly basis drenched in sweat.
Yeah. So you'll go tonight and you'll go inside a lot and eat and drink a bit. I don't blame you. Yeah.
But no, if you're Delta Club or Truist Club, season ticket. Yeah. I mean, obviously now we're talking about like a comma at some point.
So,
you know, that's a different story.
Bo, straighten me out on this. Is the A-list doesn't insure every single home game, does it? I think it's a selection.
Well, there's two packages.
I think you can add A-list. There are, you can do A-list and have season tickets to every home game, but I think there's another level, add A-list. Because you get benefits from being an A-lister, like the giveaways and stuff like that. So you can add that on to ticket packages, if I'm not mistaken.
So I saw two ticket packages. There's the full home 81-game package. And then I also saw a 27-game package that they were talking about raising prices on as well.
See, that's 27 games is very doable over over 80. That's very doable.
Yeah, it's still.
The giveaways are a big deal. Now, does the A-listers also, when they have the concerts, don't you get first priority on this?
I think you probably do. And look, this shouldn't be understated. So A-list, I have a couple friends that are A-listers. They, at the end of the season, get every single bobblehead.
Yeah, that's
in
great.
A box sent to them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's
so
major.
The Usher bobblehead, the Luda one last year, the Outkast one was all included in these. Plus things like after the World Series, they all got replica rings, and they all got A-listers got a set of the four Braves championship ring replicas.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah.
You get a lot of stuff.
That's why there's a wait list, because it's worth the whiskey. That's great. Braves, okay, good for you.
There's a separate entrance for A-listers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, no one ever likes to see the rates raised after.
I do.
What has
I
been
love it when things go up. I want you to charge me more. Everyone, charge me more. It's more fun. Because you know what? The economy is so great. That's what I enjoy. We all have a surplus of money to spend.
I just want the equality of the prices. If you have a good season and raise ticket prices,
that's never gonna happen.
I know, I'm aware it's never gonna happen. But like, you know, a little shout out to the fans. They're like, hey man, season didn't go the way we wanted it either.
Everybody gets $100
check
in the mail.
Here's a 15% decrease in your season tickets.
Or maybe a food voucher or something. That would be
nice.
Fair.
There you go.
Here's a hot dog.
I mean, I know Atlanta United had to deal with this too. They had the season tickets a couple of weeks ago.
Atlanta United should be put in the corner. And they need a big timeout for what's happened from a few years ago of winning until what we're watching now. I'm very upset with them. They better give you buy one get three free is what Atlanta United, and there is no more fun of an event than going to an Atlanta United game. But that product on the field, do better.
Yeah. The good news is if you head up to Athens, Georgia, you're pretty much going to get a good show, and that's what's nice. Let's talk some college football here in the tailgate. Sandra, there's a lot of back and forth right now about the Big Ten and the SEC, and it's extending well beyond just the conference commissioners and who's preferred format and this and that. We're going to hear from Colin Cowherd in our next segment. He has some thoughts on the Big Ten versus the SEC.
I wonder if we are brainwashed in the SEC to think that we are the great and powerful Aj in the SEC. Okay.
Are we too close to it? Yeah.
We're too close to it because the bank accounts will tell you something different.
And along with what Cowherd had to say about the Big Ten versus SEC, there's also now this alignment with Barstool and Fox Sports. And as part of this alignment, Dave Portnoy is going to be part of Fox's pregame show, Big Noon Kickoff. It's supposed to go head to head with College Game Day. And there's, I guess, a suggestion, let's call it that it's bringing some more equality and coverage to the Big Ten because Portnoy is such a Michigan homer that it's not all going to be about the SEC. I think that's a misread, but that's what people are saying.
First of all, the Big Ten Network was never doing SEC, so I don't know where that narrative is coming from because the Saturday Down South headline, which is really SEC and college sports, why the Big Noon Kickoff adding Dave Portnoy should officially bury the SEC bias narrative once and for all. I don't know why that's apples and watermelons. It has nothing to do with the other. They are banging on Dave Portnoy joining that show to become younger, stronger, faster. And I'll see your Pat McAfee, and I'll raise you Barstool Sports. That's what that is about. Big Michigan homer, 100%. But the credibility and the games that they come out of there, I just wonder because we're such a victim of habits. And listen, older folks like me, the younger crowd, are you tuning in to Dave Portnoy now on that Big Ten kickoff?
Let me
Big
tell you.
Noon kickoff, excuse me.
Yeah, it may as well call it Big Ten kickoff. You're right.
I don't have a problem
with that. They have a couple Big 12 games, I think, mixed in there.
No one cares about that.
Here's the thing that is the and you're right. I think Portnoy is brought in to have viral moments and clips the same way that McAfee does with ESPN. Here's the problem. Portnoy doesn't know anything about college football. He could speak intelligently about Michigan, and that's it. McAfee knows the game.
He's not there to do that. Portnoy's not there. And I'm already reading whispers of they're going to let him break off and have the Barstool Sports pregame.
Yeah.
That might even be opposite of this or on FS1. And so they're going
now
to.
Now, that
take
I would understand.
Totally get
but
that.
But bringing
part.
Him into the Big Noon kickoff to then not talk intelligently about college football is a really bad look for Big Noon kickoff. If you're doing your own thing and you're trying to get the market he already has kind of cornered there and they do the show the way they do the show, that's fine. But I'm not going to sacrifice ESPN to watch Portnoy talk about a game he has no knowledge of.
Well, I think that what the executives at Fox, and if you're seeing, they are changing up everything. Their sports talk, they're doing everything. They got to blow it up because what they're doing isn't working. And I would say that group that is on there, Urban Meyer and who's the running back?
I don't remember who else.
Y'all, it lacks some pizzazz. It lacks a personality. You can say what you want about McAfee.
I think it's Ingram, right? Mark Ingram?
Mark Ingram, thank you. Yeah. They need a little something. But again, are you changing the channel? Maybe we'll bring that up in three strikes.
Do you watch the any of the pregame shows, College Game Day?
College Game Day is on every single day in my house at 9 a.m. Now, is it background noise a lot? Yes. I do tape it because I want to go see what happened. I think Jen Latta and her features, I enjoy crying every 10 a.m. or so every Saturday morning. But I enjoy it on just while we're getting ready for the day, whether we're cooking or whatever. What about you? You don't even have it on.
No. Well, I mean, now I'm hosting College Football Game Time,
right.
And it's just...
Well, I'm listening to you then.
Yes, of course.
Shame on you.
I knew you would be. No, when I was in college, it was like appointment, like, it didn't start at 9 a.m., it started a little later, and it was like, all right, it's 10 a.m., we're going to sit in front of the TV for 2 hours before then sitting in front of the TV for 12 hours. Yeah. Like, that was what it was about. I got a dog and like other things. I'm going for a run. Like, I'm doing whatever I can to bridge the gap until kickoff. And it's the same for me on Sundays, by the way. Like, I don't watch the NFL pregame shows either. Like, I set my fantasy lineup in the morning, and then I got stuff to do until like 12:50.
Bo, what is your habit? Are you a watch that have it on in your house?
I will have a couple of different fantasy shows on.
Hey, now.
Only because at 11:30, injury reports come out.
Official roster, yeah.
Oh, I see. Because you're doing the fantasy thing. Yeah. Again, the habits of people I'm kind of fascinated with and what you kind of do what you've been doing for so long. But
I'm straight up looking for injury reports on Sunday morning.
Yeah, he's the fantasy
Most director. Of them tweet it out. Sometimes I'll do the weird bit where I stay up till midnight, and then some of the reporters will tweet out who's likely in and out and just go off of that.
So let me get this straight. On a Saturday night, you are on your phone waiting for an injury report for...
Well, you got to remember, I'm most likely doing post-game for Atlanta United. So I'm okay. Up till... I don't get home till 11:45.
I just want you to kind of have a date every once in a while.
Can you imagine...
Out with the boys or
Can
something.
You imagine me going on a date and be like, I'm going to need 10 minutes...
Hey, now.
Would you give me 10 minutes because injury reports are about to come out unofficially?
I love that you're passionate about it.
I wouldn't do that. Okay. I put my phone down on dates. Memphis is essentially making a $200 million proposal to join the Big 12. The Big 12 says cool, but nah.
Thanks, but no thanks. And that headline is misleading, as you have said. They said, if we can raise $200 million, we would like to join. Can we buy our place at the table? They're not interested, it looks like. Good for Memphis for trying. Okay. Okay, then.
Yeah, it's not $200 million in cash to the conference. It's like we'll have like some sponsorship deals that add up to $200 million from Memphis-based companies. Memphis trying to leave the American Athletic Conference, the AAC, which is no longer called the AAC. They've rebranded as the American Conference, and they have introduced Soar, an eagle, as the mascot of the conference.
I didn't know they even had a mascot before. Did they?
I don't think they did.
Yeah.
They just...
Okay, the American Conference and you, good for you. We wish you well. The best story of college football yesterday was my BYU guy, Jake Retzlaff, who is the quarterback at BYU, who got into trouble for allegedly having premarital sex, and that's part of the BYU. You can't do that.
Yeah, he violated the school's honor code.
So do you guys remember? He's a Jewish young man at BYU, and he started this campaign, the T-shirts, BYU, and it was very popular. He is in the transfer portal and has now landed with Tulane University. State Shapiro, your people are coming home. I think it's a great fit.
He also has to transfer as a walk-on, will not be under scholarship as part of the avoidance of the transfer.
Did you see the amount of money that he made from those T-shirts and that I'm not even kidding.
No.
To the tune of a couple $100,000, that whole campaign at BYU. So I hope they do well because Stake's daughter's going there and our friends, Todd Graffanini is there. So shout out to Todd. He's listening now.
And they're replacing a transfer in Darian Mensah, who left Tulane to get
Can we just
money.
Also update y'all the ACC?
He's still talking. What are we doing?
Okay, first of all, Jim Phillips.
It's been 50 minutes.
And with all due, I don't know that he has 50 minutes worth of material. He's talking about the ACC. I can understand Greg Sankey, who spoke for 55. So, okay. Okay, we see you.
Like, I'd like to not see you. Can we move on to Miami and see Carson Beck?
I want to see Carson Beck up there. Let's go.
All right. Hour number one of the Steakhouse in the books. We're going to continue talking about college football. This Big Ten SEC thing took its opportunity to play itself out.
SEC, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to like what Colin Cowherd says to you.
Yeah, I got a question for you, and I guess you could ask this about most of these guys, Cowherd and Stephen A. and all that. Is this real analysis or just a hot take?
He backs it up with some pretty good numbers.
We'll let you hear what he said, and then we'll break it down as well. It is Sandra Golden, Abe Ward, and the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
92.9 The Game, The Steakhouse, live in the Kia Studios. Going to be live out at Falcons training camp on Thursday. Sandra, you know what Final Friday is?
I do not.
Final Friday is coming. It's next Friday, August 1st. It's the final Friday of 2025 where no football is going to be played. And to celebrate, Dukes and Bell are going to be having a party. Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. You get a chance to be a part of it. Listen to Dukes and Bell this week for a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to the Margaritaville at Lanier Islands Water Park. And then join the guys August 1st as they celebrate the end of summer and the start of football Final Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We've got Corky Kell coming. I know Bo's going to be part of a broadcast. How about this, Sandra? Bo's going to be doing a broadcast from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, one of the games being played there. And unless it's changed, Bo, correct me, he's going to be broadcasting my high school alma mater, Dunwoody, as they take on
Dunwoody and St. Pius.
St. Pius. Used to be a big rivalry game
on whatever Saturday that is.
Yeah, 10 a.m. It's going to be a 10 a.m. game. But how cool is it for Bo that he gets to broadcast a football game at Mercedes-Benz? That is so sick.
That's amazing.
That's really cool.
No, 100%. That's going to be a very big upgrade. So far, my biggest play-by-play booth I've been in is Rome Braves, which is pretty cool. I called a high school state championship from there. But, yeah, man, I'm super excited about calling a game from MB Stadium. Yeah.
I'm excited on behalf of you, on behalf of my alma mater.
What's your Dunwoody? What's the
We're the Wildcats. Dunwoody Wildcats.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, that is awesome. What year did you graduate there?
I was out of there in 03. Dunwoody class of 2003. We were not good at football when I was there.
Really?
They were good at football in the 90s. Really good. State championships, a couple of national championship discussion type stuff. But not when I was there. Nah,
sorry.
Not so great.
I'm going to check in with Rusty Mansell on that. Rate the Dunwoody Wildcat of 2003.
I don't know if he could name.
He can first of all name the entire roster and their starting positions and their depth chart. I guarantee you. That's what he does.
You had to have a star next to your name. We didn't have any of those. We had a good basketball team.
Ladies and gentlemen, Phillips has now stopped talking at the ACC meeting. So,
do you think they played him off like at the Academy Oscars. Awards? They just like, wrap it up, man.
He went an hour and 5 minutes.
He knows he's still at the ACC, right? Like, do you think he's...
I wondered if they... We didn't have it on, but I'm not... I won't be surprised if they were just at him. Like, why? On so many levels, so many questions about the conference. So,
well, now I'm fascinated by what this means for Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, later today. Like, is he going to make it a point to not speak for as long as Jim Phillips? Or is he like, that guy spoke for an hour just about the ACC. I definitely have to go an hour if we're going to be talking Big Ten and what's going on there.
So the headline, as I'm watching the television, is ACC will now implement a player availability reporting policy for each conference football game.
Yeah, the SEC announced that as well. This is kind of your...
Gambling.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Exactly, I mean, it's exactly what it is. If you're going to be honest, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't have a problem with it.
It's not even going to be specific. It's going to be as general as they're allowed to make it.
I don't know. Why do you say that? Reports will be made available 2 days before each game, whether they're going to play or not?
Yeah, yeah. If a guy's out, he'll be listed as out. But I don't think they're going to be listing guys as, you know, questionable with specific injuries and stuff. Yeah, I think they're going to be as loose with it as possible. Speaking of college media days and what's going on, Colin Cowherd had some thoughts the other day in regards to, and we've been talking about it a little bit off and on today, this SEC versus Big Ten thing. Obviously, Fox is trying to combat that by adding Dave Portnoy. We talked about that a couple of moments ago. Colin Cowherd, though, went on his show and said that the Big Ten is superior to the SEC due to financial shifts and preseason polls. I thought it was honestly quite degrading in regards to SEC schools. Here's what he had to say about the financials between the two conferences.
Something's changing, and what's changing is money. Big Ten schools are bigger. They have more graduates. It's easier to raise money for NIL. You add in Phil Knight and the Nike money. You add in USC and the LA economy money. The Big Ten cities, LA, New York with Rutgers, Chicago Northwestern, Minneapolis, DC, Seattle. That's the Big Ten money is Hollywood, tech, and financial centers. It's a lot of car dealerships in the SEC.
Ooh, shots fired.
Yeah, that last comment's unnecessary, in my opinion.
But what he is saying is factual. The Big Ten...
To a non-college football guy, it is.
Okay, well, you can't debate their revenue numbers that they reported.
Right.
Unless the SEC is moving their books. Like, what do you mean? So let me finish. $928 million is what the Big Ten's revenue was. The SEC revenue report was $840 million. That is a lot of money difference.
I think where he's misled is the markets that matter and don't matter. You want to try and argue that you have Rutgers, so you have the New York market. No one in New York watches football.
Exactly right.
Same thing with Chicago. No, same thing with L.A.
And can we bring up possibly Texas and the money that's in Texas? And you've got Texas and Texas A&M inside the SEC. So
yeah, I also...
You can work the numbers like you want, but he is telling you financially that is a fact. That is a big, big number, which is why the $100 million number that's been thrown out there from ESPN for the SEC to go to this nine-game schedule, that Greg Sankey is playing chess with them, because he's likely going to get that number up if they go to nine, and that's a lot. There's your difference in money right there, y'all. $100 million. I bet he gets even more for that night, for the nine-game schedule.
Yeah, he definitely would. Yeah. And that a new TV deal for the SEC would certainly equalize those things as well. But it was not just about money for Colin Cowherd, Sander. He also thinks that just on a team basis that the Big Ten is better, and he based that on preseason polls.
Every national champion, every single one in the college football era, college football playoff era, everyone has been ranked inside of the preseason top six. And of the six preseason teams, highest ranked, three are Big Ten teams. So three of the top six ranked teams, and that tells you who's going to win the Natty. In 10 of 11 national championships, 10 of the last 11, the teams in the top five, one of them has won the Natty. So the Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon are all in the top six this year, and that's where the national champions come from.
Who are the other three?
Georgia.
Okay.
Alabama.
Okay.
Texas. Notre Dame, Clemson, LSU, Texas.
I'm just saying he's using this number. He mentioned three of the top six teams are in the Big Ten. The other three, at least two of them are SEC teams in Texas and Georgia.
You're 100% right. In the conversation, he brought up Alabama playing Michigan. He brought up Ohio State playing Texas, and it wasn't close in those games. So he's molding the numbers the way he wants.
He's cherry-picking specific matchups.
100%. But you cannot deny that the last couple of national championships, there's a shift in the axis, if you will. And we are so SEC crazy here and cheer for our own team in the South, which we should. But the Big Ten is a money-making Mac Daddy national championship valid.
Yeah.
You can argue better than.
I'm comfortable with everything you've said there. But let me ask you the question. Michigan's got a title recently. Ohio State got a title last year. Do you now think the Big Ten is better at college football than the SEC?
I do not, especially this year. Let me tell you why, especially this year, when you can argue that, and I'm using Greg McElroy's argument, of 10 of the teams from the SEC could literally be there at the end and make this playoff. And he made a valid argument for each one. I think from top to bottom right now, LSU being better and South Carolina being mentioned. Of course, Texas, Georgia, is Alabama back?
Mm-hmm. Even Florida?
Florida.
With Lagway, even Florida?
100%. So.
And when you look at the Big Ten, you say Ohio State, I get it. You say
Penn State,
Oregon,
now,
I
Penn
get
State?
It. You say Penn State, I get it. And you'd have to argue with me about Michigan.
Oregon.
I said Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State. Okay. Those are the three. I'd have to argue about Michigan, even as an Indiana alum.
100%.
I mean, no. So it's
and
just
Indiana was a cute story, but they likely are going to be in big trouble.
And I've never thought winning a national one team winning a title doesn't mean the whole conference is great, right? Like, let's just
100%
imagine. Yeah. I know it was and nowhere close. Let's just imagine TCU somehow beats Georgia. Does that mean the Big 12 is the best conference in football? Or do they have one team that made it worth it?
Absolutely right.
And so
you can massage the numbers, but I do feel like
it's closer.
He's got the facts, and as soon as this 9-game schedule deal is up, the money's going to be right there.
Yeah, I think it's closer than probably it has ever been. I still don't think it's particularly close.
That Ohio State-Texas game to start the season on, isn't it August 30th?
Yeah, the week one game. Yeah. You know how I know it's not close, by the way? Because every time the Big Ten has a squad that you think is legitimate, you compare them and say they're like an SEC team. You don't have any SEC teams that, boy, that those guys there, they play like a Big Ten squad.
No, that's good.
It doesn't happen like that. Yep. That's how I know which one's the alpha and which one's getting compared to the alpha. All right, the steakhouse continues. We have, Sandra, a ton of stuff.
Something special is happening at Costco, and I think you Atlanta people are going to have a warm, fuzzy heart.
If that doesn't make you stick around, I don't know what will. The Steakhouse rolls on. Abe Gordon, Sandra Golden on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Okay. Welcome back into the Steakhouse. Abe Gordon and Sandra Golden. Hey, Premier League Summer Series come to Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game wants you to be a part of the action. Listen to Dukes and Bell daily for chances to win. Tickets to see West Ham face Bournemouth and Manchester United taking on Everton August 3rd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's Dukes and Bell this week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Atlanta continues to be a pretty big central spot soccer.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Just I wish that team that normally occupies the building.
During the SEC media days, and we were down there a ton, obviously, at the Congress Center and the Omni, and I was in the car with Uber, and I'm chat the Uber person up no matter what. And boy, did they know a lot about what's going on for the World Cup in terms of hotel rooms popping up, how many buildings just broke ground do you know there was 112 buildings, according to my Uber guy, that broke ground in and around 5-mile radius of MBS? During that very week, 112
and they're
buildings.
What, all supposed to be built in a year?
That's what they said.
That
and not only
construction numbers.
Yeah, good. I say good luck with
some
that.
Flimsy,
but also is the restaurants that you saw closing. Apparently, the Midtown's that was a story. West Midtown restaurants closing. Well, the same owner has all those buildings, and they basically were saying we can raise the rent. We're going to scoot some people out of here, raise the rent, have a turnover. So I'm just fascinated by what our city's about to become.
They got a nice dry run during the FIFA Club World Cup where they had a bunch of – so it was essentially a ramp-up.
Were you down there at all?
I tried to avoid it.
Yeah.
I don't like getting into a crowded area if I don't have to be there.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'll never go to a place to be in the area if I'm then not going to the event, right?
So the one of the soccer games, and pardon me for not knowing, but it was one of the bigger ones during the Club World Cup. So I was staying down in mid. You could not move. I mean,
no,
it was something else. It's
going to be so much worse for the World Cup.
Yeah.
That is a spot where thousands of fans come without game tickets. They just want to be with their countrymen.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you said, they'll load up the bars in and around downtown and midtown. I don't want to be anywhere near it.
They said it's like 10 Super Bowls in your city. That's what they said.
The length of it, too. It's 5 weeks, essentially.
It's going to be great. Now, I love it. I love the energy for us. I'm with you. It's going to be a lot to deal with, but bring it.
Can I tell you what I love? I love the fact that it's going to be on Eastern time this year because I've made some terrible month-long decisions trying to watch the World Cup. When it was in Russia and I lived in L.A., the times were so scuffed. When it was in when it was in Japan and South Korea back in, I think that was the 02, summer of 02
What's
World
the time
Cup.
Change?
The games were at 1:45, 4:45, and 7:45.
That's kind of fun on its own level, though.
It was not fun. I got, for like a month straight, I got like 4 hours. Now, I was young. I was younger then, so I could get through. I don't know how I'd handle it now. Like, it'd be a problem. It'd be a real problem.
Oh, you're going to either not do it at all or tape it or whatever.
Here's the thing. Maybe you're in this lane. I can't watch sports delayed.
I don't either. Yeah.
Like if it's the Olympics, I'm waking up to see what I need to see. If it's the World Cup, like I'm waking up at 4:45 in the morning to watch a game. I can't do the DVR stuff. Anyways, we have a lot more to get to, so let's head straight to it. Let's belly up.
Such terrible, sad news yesterday as we learned that Malcolm Jamal Warner, which he lived here in Atlanta. I met him when I was 100 years ago hosting Atlanta and Company, and he was one of the guests. He could not have been more charming and lovely and respectful. And those of us that grew up on The Cosby Show, were y'all watching Cosby Show? Or are you too young? Yeah. I mean, Theo, and he was so lighthearted and fun. And social media, you guys, go on Twitter and see what his last video was, which was, I believe, 3 days ago. He drowned. The current got him in, I believe, Costa Rica.
So that's correct. Yeah, also so sad. Star of The Resident. He'd done a ton of projects.
Oh.
And just, like, generally one of the most well-liked actors in, I don't want to say Hollywood, but in the game. I mean, just no one had a bad word to say about him. So
just so sad. So thoughts, and just 54 years young seems so young. But also go look at his message on social media. He was a grateful human being and a positive, and just we probably should be doing more of that for sure. Speaking of positive shows that are coming back, y'all, Ted Lasso started filming yesterday in Kansas City. And when I tell you that you are either in Camp Ted Lasso or you're not, where do you stand?
I didn't watch it, but I'm not against it. Yeah. I just...
Bo, did you Ted Lasso?
Yeah, we watch it. Yeah. Tara and I, it's one of the shows that we can get along on watching.
Right,
which
right.
We don't have a whole lot.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was good.
I just loved it. I loved everything about it, the lighthearted of it. I laughed. I cried.
As you mentioned, they started filming season 4. They're also locked in for 3 seasons, I read.
That's the greatest part of this, y'all, because, again, they really had to coax them to come back. But the premise is what I'm hearing is it's in Kansas City, and he is coaching, wait for it, women's soccer team. So, and most of the players are back, so I absolutely cannot wait. I was in Costco yesterday, and I know those of you that are big fans of the hot dog and the soda family, which is $1.50. And the amount of money that they get you, they lose money on that, and they don't care because they get you in and you're going to spend. Costco announces yesterday that they are now a Coca-Cola family, y'all. So Pepsi, see you later. Get your receipt and exit the building. We're going to check it and we're out. I just think this is massive. And the reaction, Abe, that I got on social media from posting that, everybody is rejoicing over our brand, our Atlanta brand, Coca-Cola.
It's just a bunch of Lizzo fans. It's about damn time.
You know what I mean? Like,
it really is. I get so frustrated, Sandra, when I go somewhere and it's all they have is the other guys.
Yeah.
I mean, in Atlanta, like, isn't there some sort of deal you can make? Like, I go to the movie theaters and it's just, it's Pepsi products.
I almost think it's bad business if you're a restaurant and you only have Pepsi products. I wonder if that happens more and you go out of your way to say, no, no, we cannot do that. We are Atlanta. We are Coca-Cola.
Well, there's also the psychos up north who are like, it's the same thing. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we wish them well.
Your taste buds broken?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Abe Gordon is a expert on what I'm just about to talk about. Southwest Airlines announces that they were going to start assigned seats. I believe it's next weekend, August the 1st. And folks are so divided on this. Mm. They either were flying Southwest for that very reason of I'm going to get there, line up, and get a better seat. And rush the plane. And it does seem more efficient. You get on that plane, you stop freaking messing around with your overhead. And then Abe is on the other side of that argument.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had my first experience on Southwest a couple weeks ago when I was flying out to New Mexico. I was a little concerned
by... So that's the first time you
flew? That I can remember. Okay. Yeah, I was a little concerned by the, like, all right, your B9 line up, and then everyone else gets the 50 people in A get to go. And I was a little concerned about it. It actually did go pretty smoothly.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed the process. I care about one thing when I'm on a plane. Choosing my seat is nice. I just need my overhead space. Like, I got to put my bag right next to me. I don't want to deal with gate checking or anything like that. If I'm going on a weekend trip, I don't need to check a bag. Let me just put it up
top.
So
do you have to go earlier, or do when you check in, which I didn't remember this, and Bo, I don't know if you do. I thought it was just like you get an A, B, or C. I didn't realize you get a number with it. In other words, you're in line A13, and you have to go. I don't remember doing
that. Yeah, they gave
me
a specific number.
I don't know if I've ever flown Southwest.
Yeah,
I'm
see,
used
that was
to
my
just
thing.
Having a number and right. picking a seat on the the app and or the website, and then when my zone's called, I just go get
my
seat.
Yeah, that's fancy flying like Delta. That's how we Americans do it.
But even there,
stick to a brand.
Even my zone is so far back now because they've got 50 made-up zones before they get to me that I get worried about overhead space.
Yeah.
It's been fine, though, mostly.
Do you completely lose it when they go, we're out of space, you're going to have to check your bag? Do you go into panic mode?
I'll chance it. I'll ignore the first two announcements and just take, if they let me, take it onto the plane. And then from there, if they are actually out of space and they have to gate check it, fine. But, like, I'll risk it.
Sometimes you got to get up there and rearrange people's bags. Like, people don't know how to put bags in
the sideways versus, the horizontal.
There are a bunch of dumb people out there.
Yeah, you can normally make space if you talk with the people and say, hey, is this your bag? Do you mind if I...
Oh, you don't even talk to them. You just move it. If it's in there wrong, you just move it. I'm not trying to figure out whose bag is in there sideways. I'm just going to move it.
Good for you,
I try and be courteous. I don't know what people have in their bags.
They're not trying to be courteous by putting their bag up there.
I think some people just, and whoever on the internet said it, there should be a specific line for people that don't travel all the time, that they don't know how to do it. So
I mentioned this to you off air. I think there's been such an uproar recently about people being asked to move seats and this or that. So families could sit together. I think this has a lot to do with why Southwest is going to assign seating.
That's 100%. You know, I didn't think about that. Southwest, if you're bringing all them kids, I don't know why you're bringing all them kids on your vacation, but okay, that's you. And y'all, we get the first look at or the hint of how good Hard Knocks the Buffalo Bills is going to be as executive producer. Not that he's going to say it's going to be bad, but he feels like this is going to be the most watched because Buffalo Nation, the Bills Mafia, is everywhere. I cannot wait to see it. That first episode, circle on your date, will be Tuesday, August 5th, is the first Hard Knocks episode in Buffalo.
I still don't have HBO, so I still won't see it. I just get
again,
the clips.
I don't know what you're waiting on. This is literally the perfect month to get it. You can watch Billy Joel and then then cancel it in a month.
I know. I got too many subs. I'll forget to cancel it. That's the problem. I don't know.
I feel like you live a stressed out life.
I do.
Babe. I want to help you. I want you to be okay.
You also think like if I forget to cancel it, maybe for a month I could take the $8.99 hit or whatever it's going to be.
Start watching Game of Thrones.
No, I'm not.
Then move on to some of the other awesome freaking HBO shows.
I'm not going all the way back there.
You can do it and cancel it in a month.
When we come back here, we're going to wrap things up, Sandra. The game of the night and three strikes. Couple really good questions Sandra came up with today. So feel free to hop online, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. We'll talk about three strikes, game of the night, maybe a little Falcons as well as we wrap things up on the Steakhouse. Coming back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Big Toto concert tonight for all of you over the age of 100, like me.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
See ya. Hey, come say hello if you're out and about. I know a bunch of my friends are going tonight as well. And also, Abe, thank you for joining and pitch hitting this week on the Steakhouse. Great job, and I enjoy working with you. While we are out at Flowery Branch, because we're getting so excited, Falcon fans, come up, get pictures, take selfies, show me what you bought in the store. I want to see all the new gear. But we are very fan-friendly, in my opinion. Like, I just love – I get energized from Falcon fans and just that we're all out in this together.
Especially during the Steakhouse, too, Sandra, because the gates are going to be open, but they're really not going to be doing much yet. So you don't have to run – now, you might want to go get your spot. We certainly understand that. But you don't really have to rush to get up that hill. Because practice isn't going to be starting once the gates open. But Steakhouse – there live Thursday, 9 a.m., and then obviously a bunch of days over the next couple of weeks where the fans are there. So you get a chance to come say hi. And I will say this, try and be aware if there's a segment on and we have the headphones on, we probably can't stop the segment and say hello.
I will. I'll stop and get right up.
Okay. Well, Sandra will. I will continue on. But you, every time I go to remote, yeah. I'm like shocked at sometimes the lack of awareness of people who just come right up to you, like, "Hey, man, big fan." I'm like, "Yeah, man, I know, we are in segment, man."
They don't know, and they shouldn't know. So there you go. They shouldn't know. So there. All right. So this morning, here's an update. Here's another update. The master's application. I saw my first one. Dewey McGill on Twitter sent me. He got approved. So there we go. So that's the first one I've seen that it's a yes. So this is very exciting. Again, the story is most of the receiving are no's as of yesterday, but maybe some of these this morning are now going to creep through. I'm Ollie the optimist. Let's
have
go.
I assume you have, but I'll ask the question.
I did. I can't figure out how to do it.
No, not that. Have you checked your spam folder?
I did. Okay. I checked it yesterday.
I thought you would. I know you're professional.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm not.
Can't take
great
a chance of that getting lost.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Okay.
We got three strikes coming up, but first, John Foy, big game of the night. Presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys get the strong arm. Yes, the Braves are hosting the Giants tonight, 7:15, Landon Ralph against Davis Daniel. I am going to be there. But I'll be honest, Sandra, I'm going to have a little bit of my eye tuned in to ESPN tonight as well. 10 o'clock, the Atlanta Dream facing the Las Vegas Aces. Mm-hmm. First game back from the All-Star break. So you got two games of the night tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you. Of Braves, that's interesting. Drake Baldwin have a night, 6 RBI. He is such a super stud. Also, isn't Austin Riley coming off IL
There's
today,
potential,
right, Bo?
Potential.
He's eligible to come off today. He was in the infield chagging ground balls yesterday and doing some
also took BP.
Freddy Gonzalez warm-up things.
So who goes bye-bye today? Nacho, maybe? I bet they keep Nacho up. No?
I'd like to see Nacho move on over to short.
Me too.
I mean, I love you, Nick Allen.
Oh, wait a minute. Nick, right.
Great defensive guy.
He's a great defensive
guy. Not so much on the power side of things.
I've been told Nacho is not a shortstop.
Who told you that?
Multiple
people
cover.
He may not be a major league shortstop.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Multiple people who cover. But again, like, Bo, we're talking about a squad here that is not going to run to the playoffs. And if you're trying to get this guy some additional at-bat so he's ready for major league pitching whenever you do need him to place third or second.
Right.
I don't know. Like, if we have to sacrifice a little bit of Nick Allen's defense, I'm willing to listen to that. Just me. I think you're going to see a lot more. So we talked about it at the start of the show, Sandra. Like, Ronald Acuna Jr. is giving you reasons to watch every night. No doubt about that. I think Drake Baldwin's pursuit of the National League Rookie of the Year is going to start to become more of a focal point and discussion, because we're not going to be talking about the Braves that much in depth moving forward.
Yeah,
it's just done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
But I do think we start to look, and not right now, but as we get into September or late August, start to look at some of the other candidates for National League Rookie of the Year and how I think Drake's pursuit of NL Rookie of the Year starts to become a central focus, along with whatever Ronald Acuna Jr. is
doing.
I'll
remind everybody, MLB at the All-Star break put up five players and had Major League Baseball players, so his peers, vote on who should be Rookie of the Year. National League. I believe it was National League.
Yeah.
Check me on that.
Yeah.
National League. And, he won. He was number one.
And again, that was with a lot less playing time than we expect to see him now, obviously, with the switch in catchers being DHs and all that. And you're going to see him quite a bit, both behind the plate and in DH. An opportunity to keep in front of the main eye and keep juicing up those numbers. And, 6 RBIs is
right.
It's going to keep you in the discussion. I mean, I don't want to jump off too far, but, like, it's a good first game towards becoming NL Player of the Week. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what 6 RBIs get you, is you're already in the NL Player of the Week discussion, and now we see what it goes on from there.
And take Ronald Acuna Jr. out to a nice dinner at, Applebee's. They've got some nice deals over there. But that scoring from first play last night, I haven't watched ESPN this morning, but it has to be on.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. And he just said, "You're adorable, Freddy Gonzalez. I am now running through your sign, so I will not be stopping." By the way, Brian Snitker said after the game, did you guys hear what he said about that? He said, there's one player that doesn't have to, you know.
the laws of human nature don't apply to Ronald Acuña Jr. because he has inhuman traits, physical traits that other people just don't have. And there's no – you see him rounding second, and you're like, full speed ahead. And he's like, actually, I have another gear. Let's go other gear. It just guys don't have that speed. It is three strikes, 404-726-0929 if you want to get in line.
Please call, because when you y'all don't call, it's mistake goes, well, what were your questions? My questions are better, which they probably are, but here's my two
cents. I think you have a great list today.
Thank you. All right, here we go. 404-726-0929. Are you rooting for or against Carson Beck? And this is not a bash session. I'm curious because he's so polarizing here locally.
Going to be at the podium shortly for ACC Media Days. Miami presenting today. So he's a little bit front and center, especially from the UGA perspective.
So they came back from the 3-hour-long discussion from the commissioner, and the very first topic on the ACC desk was Carson Beck. So
I've seen movies shorter than a Jim Phillips discussion.
So true. NFL and the college football Saturdays and Sundays. And we're talking about the pregame shows, whether you're watching Fox or ESPN. Are you even watching? We kind of want to know your habits. You're not watching it at all. I use it as background, just kind of explain to us. And maybe which one you love or hate. And then last, a show that went away or ended and you were genuinely sad that you were like, God, I kind of miss that. I miss a Sunday Night Sopranos, and this is 100 years later. You guys might be too young for that. I really miss Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
I really missed even quarterback Andy. My husband and I loved watching that stuff, Netflix. So that's what we're trying to do here. 404-726-0929. Let's chat, shall we?
We'll get to the calls in just a moment as they load up the lines. But you're going to be out tomorrow. So the next time I'll see you, Drew Butler's in. Next time I'll see you is going to be Thursday morning at Flowery Branch for Falcons training camp. What is something that you're looking forward to checking out in regards to training camp that morning?
Xavier Watts.
Ooh, you went like hardcore football on me.
Well, what do you think you're dealing with here?
We
don't talk food on this show. We break it down, and that's what I do. Xavier Watts is the rookie. I know we're all in love with Jalen, and we're all in love with Pierce. Mm-hmm. Xavier Watts, when healthy, could be the biggest get of that first round. Put it in a magic marker. Because if he is just so impressive, and folks out at Flowery Branch and the chatter behind the scenes, which I always like to hear from the people that I respect, they're in that building, it's Xavier Watts. What about you?
Yeah, I was going to go a little less serious. I'm fascinated.
You want to talk about hot dogs and stuff and parking?
When I pulled up to All-Star Village Sunday, I was doing a show at Murph's there a couple Sundays ago. When I pulled up there, I could not believe, well before it opened, how many people were there.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see at Flowery Branch.
Well, it's sold out.
Because we're
going
to pull up. I know it is. But it's about, like, are people getting there at, like, 7:30?
Yes.
And, like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, is there going to be a line? Because we've seen there on weekends, I've been there, and I've seen a line wrapped almost all the way along that grass fence line. So is that what we're going to see on Thursday?
I would say yes. I also want to tell you, on Twitter, I did have a listener ask me, do they accept walk-ins at the last minute? I would almost say no at this point, because they were adamant about starting the narrative of it is sold out, and security has been really, really tight out there. So I don't know. I would just go ahead and look into the future dates and lock it in. I wouldn't try to show up.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to reserve the tickets, and they go off of that. I believe they are free.
They are free, yes.
But they are asking you to reserve the tickets. Let's go ahead and get to it. Three strikes. We've got a couple of calls on the line. We got a couple lines open still. 404-726-0929. Your three questions. Are you rooting for or against Carson Beck? College football Saturday, NFL Sunday. What are your pregame show habits? Are you focused intently? Is it background noise?
Or you don't care at all and
there
you
go.
Find them stupid.
And what's a show that ended that you want brought back?
Or made you sad?
All right, let's go right to the top of the list. We got Adam in Alpharetta. Adam, are you rooting for or against Carson Beck at Miami?
Rooting for. Once a Bulldog, always a Bulldog.
What are your pregame show habits on a college football Saturday, NFL Sunday?
As a producer myself, they're all overproduced and terrible. They're garbage. I just turn on and watch the game.
There
if they
you
were
go.
As good as you guys covering sports, I'd watch it.
Aw, wait a
second. And what's a show that ended that either made you sad or that you wanted brought back?
This Is Us, some of the best writing that's ever been written for television. Great show. Wish it would come back. Hey, Sandra, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Maybe in a couple of days, if you could cover the story, as season ticket holders for the Braves, we just got our invoices for next season.
Yeah.
Ticket prices went up 30% to 60%.
Yeah, crazy. You know, Abe and I mentioned it this morning, and then Abe got a scathing text as well. So y'all need to discuss this tomorrow, Abe, because I do think this is a bigger issue, because there's a lot of y'all out there that are very upset. So I hear you for sure.
It also appears that a lot of people got a significant price increase last year as well.
Right,
so maybe doubling up on that could be a problem. Marvin is in the car. Marvin, are you rooting for or against Carson Beck at Miami?
I'm rooting for him unless they come up against my dogs.
Understandable. Yeah. What's your College Football Saturday, NFL Sunday pregame show habits? You watching? You focus? What's the plan?
I watch game day on Saturday, and then Michael Strahan on Fox on Sunday.
Yeah, me too. That's
and what's a show that ended that made you sad or that you want brought back?
Bob Newhart's show. After all, it was a dream.
All right, appreciate the call there. Tinker is in Kennesaw. Tinker, you rooting for or against Carson Beck at Miami?
Man, I always thought that guy was a dumpster fire against.
All right. What's your pregame show habits on College Football Saturday, NFL Sunday?
I don't do much on Saturdays because I'm usually still running calls, but I'm definitely Sundays just for injury reports and stuff like that.
That's a great point y'all bring up about fantasy, that you're watching those games.
What's a show that ended that either made you sad or that you want brought back?
Fargo.
Fargo
was
very good.
Great
very
show.
Good. Appreciate the call,
good,
Tinker.
Good stuff, you guys.
Larry is riding around in a different truck.
Larry!
Larry, are you rooting for or against Carson Beck?
Rooting for, but I'm glad he's gone. Yeah.
All right. And what are your pregame show habits Saturday and Sunday?
College game day and Fox NFL on Sunday.
Already had one of those. Nice. Yep. And what's a show that ended that made you sad or that you want brought back?
Ozark. I love that show.
There you go,
it's
Ozark.
My husband's favorite show.
All right.
I saw Jason Bateman in Whole Foods and Buckhead, and he was so nice.
Was
there
he?
You go.
Oh, good.
Yeah, brushed with fame.
And final three strikes call here.
Now there's a restraining order against me, but that's another story.
We got Sam in Palmetto. What's going on, Sam? Are you rooting for or against Carson Beck?
You know, I don't have an opinion one way or another. He was a has-been that never was. I'm not interested.
I think that's your opinion, right? Okay. That's your strong opinion.
What are your pregame show habits on a College Football Saturday, NFL Sunday?
NFL Sunday, I just kind of flip through the channels, you know. I get them all in, you know, commercial break, turn to another channel and see what they got.
Yeah, that's fair.
And what's a TV show that ended that either made you sad or that you want brought back?
All these years later, I still miss The Wire. That was the last show that I religiously watched on a certain day and a certain time. That's the last one.
Yeah.
There you go. Appreciate the call, Sam.
Oh, good stuff, y'all. Thank you so much.
Sandra, we did it.
We did it.
Two
Next
more
time I
hours
see you,
down.
We're at Flowery Branch. Can't wait.
Is that an easier drive for you?
Yes.
It is. Yeah. It is shorter?
Yep.
Oh, you're like super easier drive,
that's
isn't
right.
It?
You just come up by on Coney Parkway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. I got to leave early.
Yeah.
You're just hanging a left. You're right there.
I can't wait, y'all. See you out there. Come say hello. Let's go Falcons. It's starting. Woohoo.
I'm going to be out with Drew Butler in studio tomorrow. We got a lot to talk about. You're right. We may have to get more into this Braves
thing.
I
really think y'all get your receipts and let's.
And we'll certainly be talking about the Falcons as they report for training camp. Some of the storylines going on there on kind of day one, but really day one's Thursday. And 92.9 The Game is going to be out there. Sandra, I hope you have a great rest of the afternoon. Bo, always appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Bo,
I'll try and see you at the Braves game tonight if I can finagle my way in.
Yeah.
Coming up next here on is the Midday Show, Andy and Randy. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.